11 through 19, and it says this. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." To help us understand the encounter, we can look at this event through these three specific instances, which I have labeled as the outcry, the obedience, and the obeisance, as recorded in Luke 17, 11 through 19. So allow me to paint you a picture of what is going on. Jesus is starting out on his final trip to Jerusalem. Why his final trip? Because Jesus was going to Jerusalem to pay the price for us all. He was going to go to Calvary. Now, I'm not quite sure why I included this in the message this morning, but I want you to know this, that Jesus was going to pay the price for our sins, and he made a pit stop. When he was cried out to, he stopped and gave this man what he needed most. So just keep that in mind as we go through this. He chooses to enter a town, and as he enters, he is met by 10 lepers. Now, I want you to imagine this. What these men might look like. Let me briefly describe leprosy. WebMD says it is an infectious disease that causes severe disfiguring, skin sores, and nerve damage in the arms, legs, and skin areas around the body. Nowadays, leprosy, if contracted, can be treated with antibiotics. However, the severe cases that have done permanent damage to limbs, who have scarred flesh, damaged nerves, no amount of antibiotics will be able to fix that. So imagine, in ancient times, leprosy was like a death sentence. If you contracted it, you would live with it and you would die with it. It was not like you could just go and get some help. People were not jumping at the chance to help the local leper. Instead, as a leper, you were avoided. And just like the woman with the issue of blood, you didn't want to be noticed. So you covered up your disfigurement. You covered up the sores, the rashes, the likely smelly, infected areas that caused other ailments. You didn't want to have any leprous skin exposed. You wanted to cover up, not just to cover the disease, but to keep the open sores clean. And not only did the leper need to keep his wounds clean, but listen to how Leviticus 13:45 commands their dress and conduct. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Now, leprosy in the biblical sense could represent many types of skin disease, but let me just tell you, whatever disease these lepers had, it was serious enough that they had given up trying to be cured. And so they found comfort in each other's company. They had misery, sickness, loneliness in common. They pulled together in order to have some kind of life. I mean, can you understand the tortured souls that are represented here? They had nothing but the companionship of others that suffered just like them. And so these hopeless, unkept, smelly, dirty lepers approached Jesus. And here is the first point to grab a hold of. These men had an outcry experience. As we read in Leviticus, they were no strangers to crying out. In fact, if anyone came their way, they would need to remain at least 15 feet away and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Can you imagine the shame of it all? Unclean, unclean, pronouncing to all that they were not worthy, that they were not socially acceptable, spiritually acceptable. So being a leper had a stigma associated with it. People thought that you had disobeyed God, that you had sin in your life. So let me quickly give you some examples. We see in Numbers 12, 1 through 6, it tells of an event of Miriam and Aaron speaking out against their brother Moses because they disapproved of his marriage, and how God strikes Miriam with leprosy for 7 days because she was rebellious and sinned by speaking out against him. And then in 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14, it tells of Naaman, a commander of Syria, suffering with leprosy, who comes to the prophet Elijah to be cured, but almost loses out on his healing because he was disobedient to the word of the prophet. It is not till his servant girl convinces him to follow the prophet's word that he is healed. See, Naaman seemed to have an attitude about him, one that resisted the word of the prophet. Then in 2 Kings 5:27, it tells of Gehazi, who was punished with Naaman's leprosy because he disobeyed his master and accepted gifts from Naaman when Elijah had refused them. And here's another one. 2 Chronicles 26:16 through 21. Here we see King Uzziah is punished for his pride. He is cursed with leprosy because he disobeyed the Lord's statutes. King Uzziah went in to offer incense to the Lord, but it was not his place to do so. It was for the Levites to offer up incense to the Lord. And it is when he is confronted by the priest and is not allowed to offer incense that King Uzziah gets angry in his heart at the Levites. And all of a sudden is struck with leprosy. His rebellious heart is revealed. So not only did lepers have to warn people wherever they went, but people understood them to be rebelliously sinful. Not only did they cry out against themselves by proclaiming themselves unclean, but they also had a stigma that cried out against them. They would be unwelcomed wherever they went, because they would cry out, unclean, unworthy, unacceptable. But then the people's perceptions also cried out against them, unclean, unworthy, unacceptable, sinful. But it was not over for these 10 lepers, because Jesus comes on the scene. And verse 13 says that they lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Understand their outcry experience. Everything in their life cried out beyond redemption and unclean. But when they saw Jesus, their outcry became one of mercy. See, if our attitude is going to be one of gratitude, you and I must first recognize the helpless state we are in without Jesus. I heard a pastor say once that the most difficult part of his job is getting people unsaved before getting them saved. And isn't this the truth? All of us tend to think my sin is not that bad, instead of crying out for the mercy we so desperately need. With that said, the first component of an attitude of gratitude is an outcry of mercy. Now, Jesus' response simply was, go and show yourselves to the priests. This is point number two, obedience. For us to truly have an attitude of gratitude, we must learn obedience. Now, I know what you're thinking. How is obedience connected with gratitude? Well, oftentimes we overlook this. I'm sure that many of us can understand this analogy. No doubt many of us have come to a stop sign and have seen the cop waiting for the Californians to pull a California roll, just so they can do what they were meant to do and enforce the law. Of course, not anyone here, because we are all law-abiding citizens who come to a complete stop obeying the law and avoiding the $200 ticket. But I know there must have been a time when you have gone through a four-way stop correctly, and then you see the cop hidden behind the trees, covered in camouflage, and all of a sudden, this sense of gratitude comes over you. You are grateful because you obeyed. You even say a quick thank you, Jesus. All of a sudden, you get your praise on in the car because you obeyed the law. See, obedience produces gratefulness. But let's look at the text. It says, and as they went, they were healed. See, for these 10 lepers, it was their obedience that was the vessel Jesus used to heal them. In the case of the Syrian commander Naaman, it was his obedience that brought about his healing and therefore produced an attitude of gratitude. See, obedience is another component to the attitude of gratitude we must have. If they would not have obeyed, they could not have experienced their healing. And this brings us to point number 3, obeisance. The word has nothing to do with being obese. The word obeisance means a movement of the body made in token of respect or submission. It also is acknowledgement of another's superiority or importance. Synonyms include worship and adoration. We see it in verses 15 and 16. It says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Here we see that the 8th leper returns to give glory to God. Well, how do we know it was the 8th leper? Because he was the only one that was grateful. I know it's a bad joke, but grateful. This man who had experienced healing returns to give obeisance and praise to God out of the gratefulness swelling up within him. This is a picture of what our attitude should reflect. It should reflect submission, acknowledgement of superiority, worship, and adoration to our God. Our attitude of gratitude requires the component of obeisance. See, our attitude of gratitude will compel us to action, to worship, to adore the one who has healed us. Being grateful but not giving obeisance is like what William Arthur Ward said. Feeling gratitude and not expressing it is like wrapping a present and not giving it. The man knew he had to praise God. He had one thing to give, and it was his gratitude. The last thing he had, and it would be given freely. I want you to know, in order to express our attitude of gratitude, we need only remember the things God has done in our lives and thank him. We thank him in word, song, deeds, all of the above. When we are willing to express thanks in action, we fulfill the giving of the present William Arthur Ward spoke of. And not only do we please God when we are grateful, but it makes us richer because it brings us closer to Jesus. Listen to what A.W. Tozer says. Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make and not be poorer, but richer for having made it. Our attitude of gratitude matters to God and actually benefits us. See, what parent isn't pleased when their child expresses gratitude for the clothes on their back, the food in their belly, the present given to celebrate them? How much more is God the Father pleased when one of his children turns to give him thanks? I want you to know this man's attitude of gratitude caused his outcry for mercy to be answered, his obedience to be rewarded, and his obeisance to reconcile him to God. See, look at what Jesus says next. Verse 17 says, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Because of this man's attitude of gratitude, he received the greatest gift of all, the gift of faith. Listen to what Ephesians 2:8 says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. When Jesus says, rise and go your way, your faith has made you well, it can also be translated, your faith has saved you. This man's attitude of gratitude has revealed faith, and now faith revealed his salvation. See, there were 10 that received healing, but only one was saved. So this morning, can I ask you some questions? Are you living with an attitude of gratitude? If not, why not? Don't you remember what life was like before Jesus? Don't you remember the misery, the sickness, the loneliness of your old life? How you used to pull together with the other lepers in order to have some kind of life? Don't you remember your tortured soul? Be grateful. No longer are you unclean. No longer are you outcast. Be grateful and hear these words this morning. A.W. Tozer said, if you had any idea what Jesus has saved you from, you'd live every second of your life for him. Have an attitude of gratitude. This morning, I challenge you to have this attitude of gratitude for what Jesus has done in your life. Show it through your outcry for mercy, in your obedience to his word, and in your obeisance, in your worship. I can't paint any greater picture than that of Billy. I had the privilege of speaking at Acts of Mercy the Saturday before. And I was introduced to a man named Billy. See, Billy was a homeless man. He had come to Acts of Mercy, I want to say 2 weeks ago when they first had it, but I don't know exactly when all this occurred. All I know is that I met Billy 2 Saturdays ago. And Billy introduced himself to the people by hugging them and saying, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your willingness to serve. Thank you. He would just go to people and say, thank you. And Billy went to the leader, Chris, and Chris says, Joseph, you have to hear this man's story. So Billy begins to tell me his story, and he begins to tell me how he had put a prayer card the last time he was at Acts of Mercy into the box, and how they began to pray for him. And how the next time he went to go visit his mom met him by saying, thank you for the prayers, Billy. See, what you don't know is this, that his mom hasn't recognized him in 3 years. Billy was grateful, but that wasn't the end of his story. See, Billy then proceeds to tell me how he was in front of Walmart and how a lady who had employed him in the past was coming out of the store, and he said, hello, Miss So-and-so. And she turns around and she looks at him and says, Billy, what are you doing here? And Billy says, well, I'm making my money for the day. This is where I work. And she begins to say, oh, no, not Billy, not the best employee I ever employed. And she begins to get Billy and say, come on, you're coming with me. She takes him home, gives him a place to stay, begins to start the process of registering his vehicle, which he was living in. And Billy can't stop saying thank you. See, with tears in his eyes, he looks at me and he says, I feel like a human being again. And it dawned on me last night as I was finishing up that Billy's story is the story of the leper that returned. That Billy had experienced a life of being an outcast, and he cried out. And Jesus took that opportunity and made him whole. All I could do was give Billy a hug and tell him, you got to keep on telling your story. If you bow your heads with me, I'm going to bring this to a close.